Well, now to the intersection of food and technology. The question of how to feed the world's booming population is what drove our next guest to setting up the world's first cell-based crustacean meat company. Sanjay Sriram is the founder and chief executive of Singapore-based Shiok Meats, or Shiok Meats. Which is it, Sanjay?
Hi, pleasure being here. It's Shiok Meats.
Shiok
actually means... Yeah, it means fantastic or delicious in local slang.
Wonderful. Shiok Meats, it uses technology to grow real meat from healthy cells outside of an animal. In this case, lobster, shrimp and crab. The cells are taken from the crustaceans, which are not kept in tanks, and then fed with nutrients similar to what they'd get in the ocean. It's a faster process because the shell doesn't need to be grown. The taste is exactly the same. The company, which hopes to have products on shelves next year, says its process is environmentally friendly, sustainable and healthier than eating normal seafood. Well, Sanjay's with us now. Thank you so much for being with us. It's early morning in Singapore, so greatly appreciated. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure being here. It's 7:30 a.m. and it's a nice, bright and sunny day.
Excellent. So let's look at the genesis of this. Where were you at when you thought, this is something I want to pursue, this is something that we need to develop?
Sure. So I am actually a stem cell scientist by training and education. So all I think and breathe and work on is stem cells. I've been working with them, you know, stem cells for more than 15 years right now. But basically, I came across the whole technology of cell-based meat about 5 years ago when it first came up in the Netherlands and in the UK, and was obsessed with the technology ever since. And then around 2018, when I decided to sort of quit my job and start something in the biotech sector, and I definitely wanted to work on a product that was health-friendly and environment-friendly. And I've always been a vegetarian for ethical reasons. So sort of put my love for food and passion for stem cells and science together and started this company.
At the time you started, where was the science at? Where is it at? With growing cell-based meat, how advanced and what is the basic process?
Sure. So 2.5 years ago when I started Shiok, basically there were about 10 or 15 companies around the world using the basal technology, which is where we take stem cells from a live animal. So we take it from a biopsy of an animal. These are muscle, fat, connective tissue, blood stem cells, and so on, which is what is inside your piece of meat or seafood when you consume it. And these cells are grown in a controlled, sterile environment, fed with liquid nutrients, which are very similar to what the animal eats in nature. And these liquid nutrients convert the stem cells into actual meat. So it is real meat, tasty, delicious, and nutritious. 2.5 years ago, the industry was very young. And what we've seen just in the last 2 years is the industry has boomed from 10 to 15 companies to over 50 companies globally, 50. And right now, most of the companies that started in the last before 2 to 2.5 years are actually at a stage where we are building our pilot manufacturing plant. And all of us are hoping to launch our products in the next 2 years.
The stem cells, and just help me here with the basics, the promise of stem cells is that they are at a stage of development where they can become anything, or are you harvesting them at a stage where they are becoming something in the body?
Right. So there are different types of stem cells. So embryonic stem cell is a stem cell that's obtained from the very early stage, which is sort of the embryo stage. And these stem cells are actually, you know, so elastic that they can form any type of cell as it forms in a baby or a fetus. But for the other stem cells, if you're looking at adult stem cells, so if we take muscle stem cells out of skeletal muscle, they will tend to form muscle only. If you take fat out of fat, fat stem cells out of fat, they will tend to form fat only. So it depends the technology that the different companies are using. We at this point use both technologies. But, you know, the embryonic stem cells are a better source because they are more elastic and they can form all the different types of cells.
So you're feeding them nutrients, which presumably gives them the same environment they would have if they were out in the ocean, becoming a little lobster or whatever else. What else do you need to do in the process of anything? Are there any additives required?
Sure. So we feed them liquid nutrients, everything from proteins, amino acids, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and so on. Currently, this liquid nutrient mix is mostly produced by pharmaceutical companies that are not so edible per se. So what we have been doing as a company is trying to swap out or work with ingredients that are more plant-based, edible, food grade. So we are swapping out the chemical ingredients with food grade ingredients. So just to give you an example, we work on shrimp, and let's say shrimp in the ocean actually feeds on algae and seaweed. So we use extracts from algae and seaweed. We digest them in a way that the cells can absorb them directly because they don't have a digestive system. And that's pretty much what we do. But why it's taking us a bit of time to get there is these cells are, you know, biology or biotechnology has not gone to a place where we can comfortably say that I can take an algal extract and my cells grow as similar as they would in a pharmaceutical grade liquid nutrient.
So what is the tissue that you have at the end of the process? Is it meat and fat, but nothing else?
Yes. So we work on crustaceans like shrimp, crab, lobster, crayfish. And what we do is we grow the meat inside only. So we don't grow the shell, the head, the eyes, the legs, and so on. And so the meat for shrimp, for example, is actually 100% muscle. So all we grow is muscle. For lobster and crab, yes, you have to bring in a bit of fat and connective tissue as well.
But no nervous system, and, you know, we can argue about the intelligence of crustaceans, but they certainly do have a nervous system. Nothing that would constitute what we would normally call an animal. We have real meat and real fat grown from a narrow selection of cells.
That's right. So just to give you an idea about it, when you take a shrimp and you de-shell and de-vein it, actually all the organs are taken out because all of the organs of shrimp are mostly concentrated in the head region. So the minute you take off the head, it takes away your nervous system, your digestive system, and all of it. And the de-veining process is actually where you pull out the intestines of the animal. So what you're left with when you eat is pure 100% muscle, and that's what we grow.
And so how do you know when it's mature, when it's ready?
Right. So there are various ways of doing this. So either morphologically, so that means we actually can see muscle fibers under the microscope. Eventually, when we go to large scale, you can actually see it by naked eye. And then, of course, we have other scientific methods to prove that it is muscle. You know, we have certain markers and biological analysis to make sure that it is muscle at the end of the day.
Where are you at with getting the necessary approvals to be able to sell this as a food?
Sure. Actually, Singapore is the first ever country in the world to come up with a regulatory framework for such a novel food, which is cell-based or cultured meat and seafood. In fact, they're the first country to approve of a cell-based chicken product from another company in December 2020, which was a couple of months back. So we are very excited of the fact that we are located here and the government and the regulatory body is extremely supportive. So we intend to submit our sort of dossier for regulatory approval in the next 6 to 8 months. And we hope to get the approval next year so that we can commercialize.
What was it that made you choose these particular seafood products? What were you seeing that motivated you to concentrate here? Or is it perhaps a quite straightforward flesh to work with or tissue to work with?
Right. So a couple of reasons. I think, you know, when my co-founder Kai and I started Shiok in 2.5 years back, we were looking at the landscape and looking at what protein we need to work on. So first thing, being in Asia, tending to the APAC market, we wanted to look at what's consumed the most. So among all the meats and seafood, we consume seafood. Among seafood, we consume crustaceans the most. Among crustaceans, we consume shrimp the most. In fact, Asia is the largest consumer, producer, and exporter of shrimp in the world. And the market size just for shrimp is about $40 billion. And the entire crustacean industry is about $150 billion. So it made business sense. It made market sense for us. And third was scientifically, we knew that these animals were less complex than your red meat and white meat. So it might be a faster, accelerated path to market, which has proven you know, proven itself in the last 2 years for us. And third was nobody else was working on it, so it was great to be unique.
So is it going to be more complicated when we look, you looked at your major exports from Singapore. In New Zealand, of course, we are looking at being the red meat exporters of lamb, beef, but also seafood. Is it perhaps more complicated for some of these other larger animals, and might it be a slower process to develop the lab-based meat?
I wouldn't say it's tough, but definitely the meats are much more complex. So at this point, we know that minced meat is not so much of a problem, but you know, when you get to a structured steak or a fish fillet sort of a thing, even for us right now, our meats are minced, like minced shrimp, minced lobster sort of a meat. But I think all the companies are working on the 3D structure by, you know, wanting to get them into that actual shape, form and texture that we are used to. I think a lot of research progress is being made on the way, but for us to see sort of a piece of, you know, a large piece of, I don't know, 300 to 500 gram steak, I would say it'll take a couple of years.
So the texture is an issue in trying to replicate what we currently take from the animal. There's also, I've read overseas, concerns about additives that often do need to go into these more complex red meats. And people are obviously wanting to weigh up one benefit against what consumers are less happy about, which is artificial additives. Why is that? Why is it needed for some of these other meats, and yet I'm not hearing it as needed for your seafoods?
Right. So I think you might be referring to something called fetal bovine serum, which is basically serum from a fetal calf, which is part of the blood of the calf. And this actually has a lot of nutrients in it. So this is a component that's being used for many, many years in the biomedical industry. But we already have alternatives to it that are chemically synthesized. But these are not edible at the end of the day. So for cells from mammals like red meat and white meat, I mean, you know, animals from there, you do need to add this fetal bovine serum. Otherwise, the cells won't grow because that's their nutrient mix. Thankfully, for seafood, you don't really need fetal bovine serum for obvious reasons because they are seafood and they don't have access in the wild to like fetal serum. But they do have their own serum per se or their own blood that flows. But as you can imagine, a shrimp is much less complex when compared to a cow. Yeah. So the nutrients that are required for shrimp are also much less complex. The amount, the concentration, the type of proteins and amino acids they need are simpler as well. So that's one of the reasons we have been able to stay away from this component from day one. But at the same time, we do use chemical ingredients, hence we're not in the market yet. And these chemical ingredients are extremely expensive. So that's where we are moving over to food grade ingredients to reduce the price, make it edible, and also add to flavor so that we don't have to add chemical and other additives to the product at the end of the process.
Now, that is interesting because the flavor, of course, is what everyone's going to want to know about. And you mentioned yours are in minced form at the moment. The great love that New Zealanders have for crayfish, it always has to be and other species actually always has to be tempered against the need to protect their numbers. How close can the flavours get, and what's involved in getting the full flavour?
So the beauty of cell-based meats is flavour is inherent within the cells. So we don't have to do any post-processing. We don't have to add flavour. In fact, one of our byproducts from our technology is a flavoring liquid, like a shrimp stock, shrimp paste, shrimp powder sort of a thing that is so intense that we have to dilute it to make it edible, sort of. So the interesting thing is the nutrition and the taste is inherent. So you can definitely taste the lobster versus the shrimp versus the crab and the crayfish when you grow it from stem cells. And that's the beauty of the technology.
So they grow faster because they're simpler than growing a shell and other matters. But you're saying no antibiotics needed, no hormones needed for the process, just feeding the nutrients.
Yes, that's right. So what we're basically doing is tricking the cells to think that they're still inside the animal's body. So we provide a super conducive environment where we control the temperature, the pressure, the humidity, the mixing and all of it. And the cells are basically floating in these large tanks, like much like a brewery. And the cells are thinking that they're still inside the animal, and they start forming the organ that they're supposed to form, which is muscle and fat and connective tissue. Yes, we don't add antibiotics. We don't add any external hormones. We don't, at this point, we don't do any genetic modification as well to our products.
So what's the volumes of these foods that are eaten and fished essentially currently? What's the potential there for the size of this?
It's a huge market. You can imagine if it's a $150 billion market, you're talking about multi-million tons per year being produced. So, you know, given that we are less than a three-year-old company, we are aiming to at least launch our product with a few hundred to 1,000 kilograms initially next year. Yes, that doesn't, you know, take up 1% of the market share, but it forms a dent where we are saying the technology works, and come, let's scale up together, so that we're able to feed the world more sustainably.
What of other seafood, more complex seafood again? Is there potential for this, you know, if we think of our iconic species again, our blue cod, our orange roughy, and others, goodness, tuna globally. Is that going to be step up in complexity again because they are bigger and because the texture is more in play?
Definitely, yes. I would say at this point, I wouldn't say easy, but I would say less complex is crustaceans. Next is seafood like fish, and then you go to chicken, and then it's your white meat and then red meat. That's the sort of way I would put the complexity of the technology and getting that texture and taste and flavor and so on. We are about 8 companies globally working on this technology, that is cell-based technology for seafood specifically. Yes, we need more companies because we consume a lot more seafood. But other than us, the other 7 companies, in fact, about 6 companies are actually working on tuna, salmon, yellowtail, and the other types of fin fish.
It is fascinating and it is happening. Thank you very much for being with us again, Sandhya Sriram of Shiok Meats. And she will be speaking as part of the Bowman New Zealand Agri Summit, which is taking place in a couple of weeks at the Christchurch Town Hall. Details on our website.